Is there anybody that would like to share a testimony of something that's happened this weekend of being here at the meetings? Don't preach a sermon, don't do that, but 30 seconds. You got something? Oh.
Saturday when we had the prayer time up front, Miss Becky had a said somebody was here with foot pain. Well, several of us come up and they anointed us with oil on our feet where we were hurting it. And I've been dealing with my foot, my right foot, for months. And I would go to work and I'd be on my feet all day, and I'd come home and my ankle would be swollen huge, and I'd have to prop it up, and then I'd have to take a pain pill, and I'd go to bed, and I wasn't able to spend any time with my family or anything. But I was able to go to work. I left straight from here and went to work Saturday, and I was able to work all day. I came to church Saturday night, went home, stayed up with the family. I didn't have to take a pain pill. It's a little sore, but it's not swollen, and it's not that excruciating pain. Wow. So I thank the Lord for that.
Amen. Well, if you haven't had an opportunity yet to hear this sister, you're going to enjoy yourself this morning, and God is going to get in your face. Amen. Sister Becky Dvorak from Guatemala and other places. Come on in, minister.
Well, good morning. It has really been a great weekend, and I mean that. You know, I had a message in my heart, but as we were worshiping, the Lord changed the whole thing, and that's usually what He does anyway, so amen. Just a couple things before we get into the message. There's some Dare to Believe books back there, and this is about the true power of faith to walk in divine healing and miracles. It's filled with how teachings about how the Lord taught me how to walk in divine healing and miracles. He didn't start with me with, this is how you lay hands, and He didn't do any of that with the methods, because you know what? Methods can only take you so far. You will eventually run into something that the method cannot handle. But if you know who you are in Christ, when you get that revelation of who you are in Christ, the authority just automatically kicks in. It's just automatically there. And when you know who you are in Christ and the authority of Christ is activated in your life, there isn't anything that can stop you. You actually become unstoppable. And you actually become lethal to the enemy. And he knows you are. So we were selling these for $15, and today, I'm just going to be here for this morning service. Today we're going to sell them for $10 each. So hopefully you will buy one for yourself if you don't already have one, and you'll be able to buy other copies to give to other people. And I'm really asking you, give them to other people, because it really does make a difference. People are being healed by the message in this book. They're being healed. Also, I think there's some pamphlets back there. If an usher will go and hand out some of the pamphlets for those that don't have, it just talks a little bit about it. There's an information card and all of that, how to connect. And if you'll do me a favor and go to, if you're for all those people that are on Facebook, go to Author Becky Dvorak on Facebook and like it. You actually help us get up the ratings, which gets it out to more people. Amen. It's been a great meeting. I've so thoroughly enjoyed every bit of everything we've done this weekend. It's just been God here, and it's been wonderful. Amen. It has really been for me. I love it. I love getting with people that believe, or people that catch the vision and they run with it, you know. Amen. I'm going to pass around a sign up sheet. I had a pen. This is for, just put your name, email, Facebook, or whatever, if you're on that stuff, okay? And make sure I get your information, how to contact you guys. Okay? okay, this is what the Lord says today. Amen? Because I always take it to Him. I say, Lord, you know, I always have a message in my heart. I have the Word in my heart, and I am ready in season and out of season. But Lord, if I always pray, and I always take time with the Holy Spirit, and I say, fashion this message today for the people that are in this place. What is it? And as we were worshiping the Lord today, the word for today is called deliverance. This is the word for this congregation today, deliverance. Deliverance from addictions, deliverance from the spirit of death, deliverance from the spirit of infirmities, deliverance from something that's called a python spirit. A python spirit is something that slowly wraps around you. And it literally continues to squeeze and squeeze and squeeze, just like in the natural. And it will squeeze the very life out of you. And it's there. It's sent against you to bring you down, to actually kill you, eliminate, take you out. And God wants people delivered, delivered. And we should want to be delivered, amen? There is no shame. We are not going to be ashamed. We say we need deliverance from something today. Praise the Lord. Come up and get it when it's time. You know, you want to be set free because he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I mean, you are free. And there is nothing better than being free in God. Free in the things of the Holy Spirit. He wants each and every one of us free today. Free today. Today, it is true. In my next book that's coming out, it's called Greater Than Magic. It'll be about in about 6 months. But anyway, the Lord, it's filled just like this book. It's filled with teachings and how to put stuff into action and all of that. But the whole message of that book is that the supernatural ability of faith is greater than magic. It's greater than anything that's out there in this world. And it's a power-packed book. In there, while I'm writing this book, I had come back from a ministry trip. And I get home, and I'm sleeping that night. And my husband has something to share with me, but we got home late at night. So he thought, well, I'm going to share it to her with her in the morning. But you know what? The Lord shared it to me. Shared it with me in a dream that night. And I saw the enemy, and I just knew the enemy went after one of my kids while I was away. And it was just a few days, but he went after one of my kids. And in my dream, and I have it in my next book, in my dream, the Lord spoke to me, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and showed me what he tried to do, what he tried to do. And you know what? This righteous anger towards the enemy rose up in me in this dream, the authority that we have. And I went storming out of my room, and I went to my son's room where the enemy was. And I burst through the door. And the enemy saw me, and he was quivering and shaking in the corner. He was just shaking. He was just down there like he was just shaking because I walked in with the authority of Jesus Christ. And I went up to him and I said, how dare you even come near one of my family members? How dare you come near my child? You have no right. And he was trying to get away. Because I just burst through that door with all authority. And I just said, how dare you? How dare you even try to hurt my child? How dare you? And he was just quivering and quivering. And he was trying to find a way of escape. But I walked through the only door that was in that place. In that room. There was only one door. Only one door. And I walked through it. And he was hiding in the corner. But you know, he knew he was exposed. The enemy knew he was exposed. And he was looking for a way out. But you know what? There was no way out for him. And so he went running underneath the desk in the room. And I would not stop. And I ran after him and I got underneath that desk. And I said, how dare you come after my family? You have no legal right to my family. And he didn't know what to do. He was like looking at this. He was just trembling. I mean, seriously trembling. And you know what he did? He jumped into the garbage can. Perfect place for him. He jumped into the garbage can trying to hide, and I still wouldn't stop. And in this dream, I stuck my head in that garbage can, and I said, how dare you try? And he is just trembling, literally trembling in the garbage can. It was a silver little garbage can underneath this desk. And he was inside of this little garbage can. And he was hovering. And he was like, he didn't know what to do. And I said, you have no legal authority. You have no grounds to come after one of my children. In Jesus' name, you have none. And he, out from the garbage can, he looked up and he started to shout false accusations about Jesus at me. And he couldn't think of anything. But then he said, Jesus was arrested. Was he not arrested? He was innocent, though, wasn't he? But he was arrested. And it just, the faith arose in me even stronger. The authority of the believer over him, that little fallen angel, because that's all he is. And to me, in the dream and in life, he's only that big. You know, people make him out to be some giant, but in this dream, he was like that big, this little dark little creature. And he was just trembling, and he's inside this garbage can, and he can't think of anything to accuse Jesus, but I knew he was trying to come up with something, and he says, Jesus was arrested. And I have my face in that garbage can, and I started calling out with all authority, where I actually woke up calling it out, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I just started calling out the name of Jesus over and over. And that little fallen creature that people are so afraid of, his name is Satan, who used to be Lucifer, he's starting to bang around in the can. He's literally being tormented by the name of Jesus. And he can't even, he is just losing it. He's just like this little thing going around and around this can, and he's just banging his head. He's just going crazy in that thing. And I woke up. And I woke up with this in my heart. Greater is he who is in me than he, Satan, who is in this world. Satan is not this big thing. All he is a fallen angel. And if you know your authority, if you really know who you are in Christ, your identity, you know that people, we as human beings, have been created a little lower than Elohim. Just a little lower than Elohim. We're not equal with him, but we're a little lower than the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're just a little lower. And then after us, it goes Elohim, it comes the human race, and then it comes angels. And people say, what are you going there for? You have to know who you are. You have to know who you're fighting also. But it's like people make the enemy out to be so great and so powerful. I mean, he's a giant. No, he's not. No, he's not. He used to be Lucifer, who rebelled against God and fell and was kicked out of heaven, right? He was kicked out, and a third of the angels rebelled with him. And he's now Satan. There's a verse in Psalm 8:6, and it's translated wrong in most English Bibles, but they're getting it right now. It says that we've been created a little lower, and in the wrong translations, it says we've been created a little lower than angels. That's a wrong translation. If you take it back, that word angels is really Elohim. And yes, I go into detail in the book about the word Elohim, and I take you all through the different meanings of Elohim. But when they were referring to Elohim, they were referring to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, because who was speaking in this portion of Scripture? The angels were speaking about the creation of mankind. And the creation of mankind was something very, very special, because it changed the divine order of things, the divine order of authority. And we are no longer lower than angels. And people say, what does that have to do with anything? It has everything to do with everyday life. Because who was Satan before? His name was Lucifer. And Lucifer was a covering angel, and he rebelled against God, was kicked out of heaven, kicked out of the garden, kicked out of all of the presence of God. And if we don't know that we've been created a little lower than Elohim, not a little lower than angels, but a little lower than Elohim, we might fall into angel worship. Come on. We might fall into thinking that Lucifer or Satan is something greater than we are. And he is not. He is a fallen angel. And we have been given authority over all things. All things. And we have authority over Satan. Because he's just a fallen angel. That's all he is. And so in that dream, you know, it's like he's just this little creature. And I come bursting through the room. And I'm just saying, where are you, and how dare you do this? And he's just exposed, and he has no place to hide. Well, anyway. So he goes under the desk. I go after him under the desk. I say, you're not hiding there. Get out of here. You get out of here. You don't belong in my home. You don't belong anywhere in our vicinity. Get out. And the name of Jesus just tormented him. I'm shouting in the garbage can, because that's the only place he has left to go in that room, the garbage can. He jumps in it, this little creature, and he's thinking, and he's trying to find a way to accuse Jesus, because he knows who I am. Sorry, he knows. That's a lethal one. Watch out for her. Watch out, she's coming. I don't play around with him. I do not play around with him. Greater is he, Jesus, in us than he, Satan, who is in the world. Greater is Jesus who is in us. And we need to get this revelation deep down in our hearts. Greater is Jesus in us than Satan who is in the world. When we understand our authority, things really start happening. But you can't understand your authority until you understand your identity. Because it's like being a sheriff. You're in this position, you're the sheriff, and you wear this badge. And that badge represents the authority that a sheriff has. But unless the sheriff knows he's a sheriff, what good does the badge do? What good does that authority knew him, because he doesn't even know. He doesn't know what the badge is. I mean, he says, okay, authority. Authority for what? He doesn't know who he is even. Who am I? He doesn't even know. It's like that with us. We as Christians need to know who we are. We are created in the mirror image of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. As Jesus is, so are we. Plain and simple. As Jesus is, so are we. And we've been given all authority over Satan and all of his wicked works. Amen? All of them. All of them. The word for today is called deliverance. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to go in and deliver his people. That's you. He wants you delivered, he says, from addictions. He wants you delivered from a spirit of death. He wants you delivered from a spirit of infirmities. You know what that is? That's when one sickness after another, after another, after another, it's like it's just clinging to you. You can't get free from it. It's because it's a spiritual thing. It's a demonic spirit or spirits, and they're called infirmities, sicknesses, weaknesses, and they're coming after you. And they're clinging to you. And you've got to get free. You've got to get them off of you. You've got to get free. And you can be free. You can be free right now. And he wants to deliver some of you from what they call a python spirit. That thing, that python, that snake that just wraps around its prey. And it just slowly, slowly, slowly starts constricting, right? It starts killing its prey by slowly squeezing the thing to death. He wants you delivered. People say, I don't know, that sounds kind of like a pretty heavy list. It is. But I know more of you than you would like to admit are falling into these categories today because God wouldn't have said it otherwise. We've been given many spiritual gifts to overcome every attack of the enemy. One, after we know who we are, we have our identity straightened out, and we understand the authority, we start walking in that authority, and we become lethal to the enemy. He's given us the power of the spoken word. There's the power of life and death in your tongue. You have what you say. You are actually living in the words you have been speaking. Think about, what have I been speaking? Have I been speaking God's report that by his stripes I'm healed? Or have I been just speaking these symptoms? Am I giving the situation, the sickness, the disease, the spirit of infirmity more power than it really has over my life? Because as we continue to speak and speak, we speak of the symptoms, we speak of the problems, we actually are glorifying it. We're actually giving it more authority than it really has. We're giving it a place in our lives. One of the weapons he has given to us is called praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. This is what I mean. Some people refer to it as a heavenly language. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, whatever you want to say. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, your heavenly language. I know many people have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of people, a lot of Christians right now, activating the power of praying in tongues. It is powerful. The enemy hates when you pray in tongues. He absolutely hates it. One, I don't believe he can understand it. And it's powerful. Because when you're praying in the Spirit, when you're praying in tongues, what you're doing is you're allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through you, the perfect will of the Father in that situation. And I say, who better knows how to pray than the one who penned the book? He will never go against the Word of God. Never. Never. And he always lifts up Jesus. He never undermines him. He always lifts up Jesus, and he always, always is about the Word of God. Always about giving revelation to the Word of God. Always. Praying in tongues is so important. In this book, and I don't know which chapter, I can't remember which chapter, I have a testimony in here about the power of tongues, the power of praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. My husband and I in Guatemala, we're missionaries. We've been there for 19 years now. One of the things that we have down there, we have a children's home. It's called Life Unlimited, Vida Ilimitada. And we have these children's homes down there. We have about 19, 20 acres of property for the glory of the Lord. And we have homes built. We've built these homes. And we have children in these homes. And one home is called Life Tender Mercy Home, and it's for children that are born with HIV. They come infected with HIV, but they're free. They're free from it. They're totally free from it. When we first started, my husband and I moved out to the property. When we first got the first level of the house built, of the first house, and David and I, we moved in, and we had 12 boys from the streets living with us. youth. I mean, they were wild. They were wild. They were from directly from the street. They're the kind of kids that are in gangs. We've had people that have murdered people in our house, living with us. We've had homosexuals that are now free. Most of them were. You know what I mean? They, most of them came with that sin in their life. I'll call it like it is. But you know what? They didn't know who they were. That's the whole issue. That's the whole problem with it. People don't know who they are anymore. They don't know. But when they find out that they've been created in the mirror image of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you start building upon that truth, and you start ministering, and garbage and sinful things just start coming off of them, falling off of them. And we have boys, yes, that were homosexuals, were. They're grown up, they're married to women. They have children.
Wow.
They're living, I mean, they've changed. Their life has changed. They're free from drugs. They're free from alcohol. They're free from all of this stuff. You know? And so we had 12 boys from the streets, and that was hard. I mean, that was hard. That's the hardest thing we have ever done for the Lord. Along with it, we had 5 babies. And they, we just won't go there. But anyway, one of the common problems these boys had when they came to us off the street was demon possession. I mean possession to the fullest. And every time we took in a new one, things would manifest. They would manifest. And familiar spirits would come. And you get all this stuff manifesting. You know, sometimes it was worse than a horror movie. But greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. One time, my husband was in the United States. And we were in the first level because that's as far as we had were at the time. And we had 12 boys, 5 babies. And at the time, we didn't have running water. We had a cell phone, one cell phone, because they were brand new in the country. Life was hard. Electricity was very iffy out there, but it was okay. And here we are. My husband's in the States, and it's getting to be evening. And one of the boys started acting up. Not his attitude, but demonic spirit started manifesting major. And it was getting dark outside, and the lights went out. And this young teenage boy is... All right, Lord. Even sound effects here, okay. Well, that's what it was like. The lights went out. And this boy, he had a legion. A legion is 2,000. I mean, it's many. And the lights went out, and it started manifesting. He wrapped his head in a blanket, and he was just tossing and turning, and he was screaming on top of his lungs. He was so afraid of everything that was coming against him. And my son, he was 18 years old at the time, and we said, okay. And we had another one of the boys that was sort of okay at the time. And all the little kids were like, Mama! And they're all hiding. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And we have a major manifestation going on here. And I'll tell you how major it was. The lights were out. And I was coming, I looked at him, and the boy died. I don't know if he took something. I mean, I don't know what he would have taken, But, you know, he's from the streets. I mean, they're so used to finding anything and taking it. I don't know. I do not know. But, you know, the lights were out. We had a flashlight. I even took a mirror up to him. There was no breath. And I'm saying, say Jesus. You say Jesus. I'm talking to him in Spanish. You say Jesus. You say Jesus. You say Jesus. You cry out to Jesus. And I could start to see his tongue move in his mouth over and over till we all of a sudden heard him saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And he came back. I looked him in the eye with the flashlight and I could see we were not done. I could see by the discerning of spirits. I walked very strongly in that, but so does my son. And I could see by the discerning of spirits, we had just begun here. And the lights came on. But I knew we were not done. I'm trying to get everything. I mean, you just don't understand. I can't even describe what all took place there. I had one of the boys that was a little older and a little bit getting on the right road. I said, get out your Bible and start reading. You just start reading the Bible out loud. You just start reading the Word of God. That's your assignment. I'm going to get all these other kids over here set up, what they've got to do. I've got to calm these kids down. And so my son and I go over to this teenage boy, and I'm saying, you come out of him in Jesus' name. You get out of him, you foul, wicked spirits. And I said, who are you anyway? And out of nowhere, I started hearing thousands of voices. They weren't inside. They were right outside of the house. And they just thousands of voices talking at once. It was all happening so fast. And my son is going, Mom, Mom, they're all around the house. He comes running in the room. They're everywhere. They're dragging chains around the house, Mama. I can see them. They're flying. They're walking. They're looking in the windows. And I'm saying, come out of him in Jesus' name. Get out of him in Jesus' name. And you know, the lights go out again. And it's wild. I mean, it is totally wild. Everything, all hell breaks loose against us. And I'm not using that in a swear word. I'm using it as the place. It's breaking out against us. It was bad. It was really bad. It was worse than a horror movie. Everybody could see them. You could hear them. They were thousands. All different shapes, all different sizes. Some were flying, some were walking, and they're dragging chains, literal chains, around the outside of the house, going around and around with chains. That's bondage. They're bringing it in because they don't want this one free. And they're just going around and around the house with chains. And a spirit of fear. I mean, the big guy, or so they say, comes in. And my son and I, is this too weird?
No, go for it.
Okay. A spirit of fear comes in. My son and I, tell me if it's too much. My son and I no longer are in the natural world. We've stepped into the spirit realm. And we know it. And the spirit of fear is trying to overtake my son and I. And we both are just trembling down to our bones. And I'm trying to get out to my son. This boy is going insane on this bed. He's wrapped around and as tight as he can in everything he can find. You know, trying to hide, but he can't hide. You can't hide in the spirit world. You can't hide. And it's dark. And you can hear everything. And there are these demonic spirits. There's just thousands of them on the outside of the house. And I'm trying to get, I'm sitting on the edge of the bed, and my son is in a rocking chair because we used to have we had all the baby's cribs in our bedroom. And he was just right there, and I'm trying to speak to my son, but I can't speak in the natural realm. Okay? I can't get the words to come out. And I just keep trying, and I get a message to him, who's only right here, and I say to my 18-year-old son, "Pray in tongues." There's power in tongues. Shukutu lara mama, there's power in it. And my son, we break through what this barrier called fear. We press through it. And we're both praying in tongues very intensely. Very intense praying in the spirit. Shkutala mama nekita. We're just praying in tongues. And we're praying and we're praying. And it's just wild all around us. The lights are out and this guy is going insane. And all of this stuff is just happening all around us. I mean, it's just creepy as all creepy get out. We're praying in tongues, my 18-year-old son and I. And there's a legion of demons all around us. They're trying to take this one out. But greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We're praying in tongues, and out of nowhere, at the same moment, my son and I, we start to laugh. Fear is right there, and it's literally trying to overtake us. It's trying to jump on us. It's trying to possess us. Do you understand that? The fear is trying to possess us. It's trying to take possession. And we held up a standard. We raised up a standard, what it says in the Word of God. And we prayed in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. Shukuta la mama. And out of nowhere, at the same moment, my son and I start laughing so hard. I remember he and I were holding on as hard as we could because it hurt so bad to laugh so hard. We were crying. And you know, in the middle of this, we're crying because we're both laughing so hard. And in the middle of all this, my husband, because my son had run out of the room before this point, and he went and called my husband on the cell phone, who's in Minnesota. And my husband's not answering the phone, but it gets on the answering machine of my unsaved father-in-law. My father-in-law hears this and doesn't know what in the world is going on. Who is surrounding the house? And so he goes, wakes up my husband. He says, "You've got to get downstairs and you've got to hear this. You've got to get hold of your wife." He's now saved. Not from that moment, but he was a mean old alcoholic for so many years. And when he was like 83 years old, he finally gave his life to the Lord. But all of this is going on. And in the middle, this is before before my son and I burst out into laughter. We're praying in the Spirit. And the phone, I didn't even know the phone was by me. The phone starts ringing and I'm like going, I'm not even in the physical realm. And I'm like going, I hear something. It's like, the phone. And I don't know, it must have been left on. I don't know, my husband, I don't know how it was. All of a sudden I could hear my husband speaking. And he's going, "Becky, what's going on?" And I said, "I can't talk now, David. I'll call you later." I got that out. And we were just, it was so intense. And I can hear him saying, "Becky, what's going on? Becky, what's going on? I can't talk now. I'll call you later, honey." And we're praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. And all of this horrible stuff is manifesting. But it really is trying to take possession of us. It's fighting against us. And out of nowhere, because we were praying in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit praying through us knows exactly what needs to happen in this situation. He knows it. We've got fear, the Spirit, the big guy right in our face, and he's trying to overtake us. And so we start praying in the Spirit. And out of nowhere, just what we needed to do, the Holy Spirit's working in us what needs to take place. And we start laughing and laughing, just a totally uncontrolled laughter like I've never laughed in my life. To where we had tears and we were holding on, holding on. Do you know what happened? The demonic spirits, the thousands of them, started fleeing. As fast as they came, they were flying out of there. You could see them flying away. The Holy Spirit in us called his bluff. The spirit of fear. We laughed at fear in its face. And you know what happened? The lights went on. And everything was calm. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. But you know what? Every night when it started to get dark, that whole week my husband was gone. He's saying, do you want me to come home? And I'm like going, no, you stay where you are. And I'm like going, oh, you stay where you are. But I had to learn to stand. I had to learn to stand against it. And every night when it would get dark, the lights would get out, go out. And the little ones, the little boys would come running to me, Mommy, Mommy. And I'm like, wait, we're okay. We're just going to pray. In Jesus' name, the lights come back on. No evil may come near our dwelling in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against us will prosper in Jesus' name. And you know what would happen? The lights would come on and everything would be peaceful. The word for today is called deliverance. Because there are people here. You've got people in here that are hearing and seeing demonic spirits. They are having dreams and visions that they just can't get away from. People are dealing with a spirit of depression. And they're taking meds and stuff. You know what? That's not going to make it go away. That numbs you. And it's not going to stop the voices. It's not going to stop that stuff. Joy is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And that's what we needed at that moment. And as we prayed in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit knew they need to start laughing at this thing called fear. Think of that. Laughing in the face of fear. And thousands of demons flee. I find that amazing. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. There's people here that need deliverance from addictions. Some of it's smoking, drinking. Some of it's sexual sins. Very sexual sins. Deep-rooted things that have been going on for year after year after year after year after year. Christians. Jesus wants to set you free. I wrote in my second book, a testimony of a couple, some good friends of ours from Tennessee. I used alias names in the book for them. And I knew these people. We knew these people for many years because we used to all go to church together when we lived in Minnesota. And these people, you know, they're part of the worship team. I was a part of the worship team. That's what I used to do. I mean, I still worship, but you know what I mean. And he couldn't get free from pornography. God wants you free.
Amen.
And there is freedom.
Amen.
You're going to have to want it. You're going to have to get to where you hate it.
Right.
You hate it. And I think you already do because you know how controlling it is over you. You know it's controlling you. You know it. Well, this couple, he's fighting this for years and years and years and years and years. Ever since he was a teenager, he was fighting this. And they're married. They have several kids. He's in his 30s and he's still fighting this and fighting it and fighting it. Well, you know what? In some ways he's fighting it, and other ways he's not. He's giving in, but he feels guilty all the time. Who took our shame? Jesus took our shame. He took your shame even for that. Yes, shame comes with any of those things, but he took your shame so you could be delivered from shameful things. He really did. And that's not too hard for him. It's not too hard for our Lord. My friend, she goes out to run some errands. Her husband, who is also our friend, he's watching out the window as she's driving by. And you know what? You know how wicked the enemy is? And I know this is so spiritual. This whole addiction to pornography and that, it's so spiritual. Supernaturally appear two pornographic magazines on the front yard, right in front of him. And he goes out and gets them. Supernaturally, they just appear. She comes home and finds her husband curled up in a fetal position in a corner of a room. And she was a very timid kind of a person, or quiet, you know? She went up to him, and he's growling. This is a Christian man, and he's growling. And a deep, low voice is coming out of him, spewing out hatred and who knows what all, profanity. Now in the church, probably not here, but in the church, people aren't taught how to deal with these things. People don't know what to do. She didn't know what to do. She used a weapon that she did have. You know, she didn't know how to pray. She didn't know what to do. So she started praying in tongues over her husband. She's praying in tongues over her husband. And it's a very messy situation. But the man gets delivered. This sweet, quiet wife prays in tongues over her husband. Now, some women would walk out the door and say, bye-bye, enough. She went over to him and started praying in the spirit. She says it was scary for her. She didn't know what else to do. Who's she going to call? Pastor, will you come here? You know, my husband has this problem, blah, 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 blah. You know, some people say, out the church you go. No. God wants the man free. Because Jesus paid the price so he could be free. And so this quiet, gentle-spirited wife goes down and starts praying in tongues. And this thing is growling, spewing out hatred. But he's delivered in their own room, in their own house. Because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Jesus is greater in you. And he's given you the tools to be free. Are you with me?
Yes.
Is this too much?
No.
Okay. It doesn't matter who is coming against you. Greater is Jesus in you than he who is in the world. We are entering into this season of life, season of time. We are in the end times. We're actually like in the beginning of the birth pangs of the end times. And things are going to get ugly out there. They're going to get really ugly. And the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the body needs to get herself dressed so she's the bride without spot and wrinkle. She needs to get dressed and start using her identity and start activating the rich robes of righteousness, which is the power of the blood. The power of the blood. Because people are going to come against you. They're already starting to stand against you, against us. They don't want this Jesus. They want Jesus out. They want Christians muzzled. They don't want us speaking. They definitely don't want us doing what we are sent to do. They don't want us activating faith. Activating faith? Raising the dead? Come on. Yes. I was at our ministry site with the Maasai in northern Tanzania. And, you know, we minister to the leaders and all of that all day long. And then at the end of the week, the last session we do, we have an outdoor campaign for all the people that want to come and be healed and receive Jesus. Well, I'm getting ready to stand, and the people are gathering. You know, they got these choirs, and they really get into it out there. And they're going away. And I'm just walking around the perimeters of this ministry site, and I'm praying in the Spirit, very quietly, just praying in the Spirit. And on a pile of construction rocks, there's an old man. He seems kind of familiar to me, but I just can't place him. And I go up and I shake his hands and say hello. That's as far as I can go with his language. But I greeted him the same. And then I walked up and I went and I gave the word. And we had all these people come forward. Just, there's a lot of people. And these people came forward to be ministered for healing. I was here, my friend was over there, we couldn't even see each other. And I'm over here. And the first lady I just go to lay hands on, and she falls out under the power of the Holy Spirit and she comes up healed. And I'm going to go lay hands on the second person, the second woman. And I noticed out of the corner of my eye, I noticed this man that was sitting on the rocks. He was just a little, short, old, frail man. And he was standing right next to me, but he was lost. He was very confused, and he's looking all around amongst the crowd. And he's trying to, it's like he's trying to figure out, where is he? And I'm going to go lay hands on this woman here. And all of a sudden, he lightly bumps me. Doesn't like shove me, just lightly touches me, you know, by accident. This is a believe it or not, but it's true. He lightly touched me. And the man went sailing backwards with a force. He just went flying. And he landed dead on the ground. Everybody like parted the waters. And I say to myself and to the Lord, Lord, a man just died in the healing line. Help me. And I go running up to the man. And I touched him, and he was like he had been dead for a long time. He was stiff and cold. And I get down to him, and I say, in Jesus' name, I renounce the spirit of life, and I release the spirit of life. Nothing happened. I said, breathe in Jesus' name. Breathe in Jesus' name. I said it three times. Breathe in Jesus' name. And he came back. And someone that could speak English, a lady came down near me, and she goes, in broken English, she says, do you know who he is? I said, no, I don't. Who is he? He's the witch doctor. And the Lord brought back to me what I prayed that morning, because there's power in every word you speak. And I never prayed this before, but that morning I did. And I said deliberately, and every curse that they try to put on us, may it bounce back on them in Jesus' name and teach them a lesson. Do you know what he did? He lightly bounced, but he went dead on the ground. That was the curse they were putting on us. But it bounced back on them. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Greater. I don't know how big you think Satan is, but to me, he's just a little creature. He's just a little thing. You know, it's like, get out of here in Jesus' name. Get out! He wants you free today. He wants you free. Jesus wants you free. He wants you free. I was sharing, I don't know why, but we were talking about some things over breakfast this morning in the other room. And this is how much Satan and the demonic spirits fear the blood of Jesus. My husband and I, we did a 5-week faith and healing school in this one church that was new to the things of the Holy Spirit. But they came, right? And it was a group of about 250, 300 people that would come every week. Well, then after that, we had another special service. And we were coming in. And we knew the people, and they knew who we were. And the service is starting to go with the music. And I'm walking in the back. For some reason, I'm walking in the back. And as I'm walking past, there's a man that all of a sudden, an adult man, goes into an epileptic seizure. And they carry him out, all stiff and everything. They carry him out to the hallway. So I follow him into the hallway, and I say to his parents, I said, you know, obviously in Spanish, I said, you know, this is more spiritual than it is physical. Do you know that? And they're kind of like, and I said, I laid my hand on him and I renounced the spirit of death and the spirit of epilepsy. Spirits are always known for what they do in the Bible. That's how they're called. And so I come against the spirit of epilepsy in him, the spirit of death. And I start releasing the spirit of life. And I feel led to start quoting the 7 places Jesus shed his blood. And so I'm quoting, and I'm starting from the beginning. The first place was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so I'm saying Jesus shed his blood in the Garden of Gethsemane when he sweat great drops of blood so that this man could be free from the human will. And out of nowhere, the man sits up. The demonic spirits in him sit up, and they try to kiss me. And I went, I pushed it off. I pushed him on the ground. Who tried to kiss who in the Garden of Gethsemane? Judas. It was a kiss of betrayal. It's like, get off of me in Jesus' name. And then I started to say the second place where you know, Jesus gave his face so that they ripped out his beard, which took his shame, which took our shame. And as soon as I'm starting to say this, this is how much they hate it. They started ripping at everybody's faces, trying to grab everybody's face and rip it and tear it. And I'm saying, don't you touch me in Jesus' name. I mean, after they kissed me, they didn't try that again. I mean, they didn't try to touch me. They're going after everybody else there. And I'm going, and I get to where Jesus was whipped for all sickness and all disease. And they start spitting blood in my face. I mean, it was serious. What was going on was serious. And I got through the whole thing. I mean, they're just going wild. Just wild within this man. Just wild. And they're pleading. They're very manipulative. And they're pleading to the parents. Oh, mama, 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 mama. Get them to stop. And the mama and the daddy knew, we aren't stopping. They're seeing it for what it is. This is a man that has seizures every day of his life for many, many years, since he was a little boy. Every day, every day, every day. They're living in this bondage for many, many years. And they're starting to try to stop the deliverance because they know they're coming out. They know it. They know it. They know when you know. They know when you know your authority. They know when you know who you are in Christ. And you become so lethal to them. And they're begging and pleading now like in the human form. Please, get them to stop. Stop, 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 mom, stop, stop. And she's going, no, no. And we went through the whole thing. I mean, it was wild and it was a violent thing. You know, every deliverance is different. This one was a violent thing. I literally had to stop. And I said, just hold on. I turned around and I prayed over myself, you will not vomit in Jesus' name, because it was so foul. The smell, everything that about it was so foul that was coming out of him. I'm like, wait, get it together in Jesus' name. You get it together in Jesus' name. And I'm wiping myself off. And I finished the deliverance. And the man is set free. He receives Jesus, his wife, his young wife, who has had no idea what is going on with her husband, receives Jesus. The whole family is baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he's in his right mind, and he has no seizures. It's out of him. He's delivered. So the Lord wants to deliver you from sickness, disease. He wants to deliver you from addictions. It doesn't matter what kind of addiction it is. He wants you free from it. Amen. Just think, get that image of you, the first testimony I shared of those demons wrapping the chains. You could see them. You could hear them. Big chains and those big balls and chains and everything. They were wrapping them around the house. They couldn't get in the house. They were trying, though. Remember, it tried to take possession, and we're like going, pray in tongues! And they were wrapping around and around. Think of the python spirit. Think of a python snake. What does it do to its prey? Think of this as the prey. And it wraps itself around, and it just starts squeezing tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter. Some people are going, I don't know what's going on. I've gone up for healing. I'm healed of this. And this is coming on, but it's all about life and death. It isn't like, you know, someone broke a foot or something like that. Whatever. I mean, it's life and death. Literally trying to squeeze the very breath out of the person. That's spiritual. It's spiritual. But you can be free from it today. Amen? Because greater is who? Who? Come on, let's say it like we believe it. Greater is?
Jesus.
Amen. Greater is Jesus. Say, greater is Jesus.
Greater is Jesus.
In me.
In me.
Then he, Satan.
Then he, Satan.
Who's in the world. Get the image of the little thing that I went after and jumped in the garbage can. I said to him in the dream, how appropriate. That's an appropriate place for you. That's where you belong. But the name of Jesus tormented him. Can we have some worship music? The young girl, I'm sorry, I can't think of your name, that sang, Holy, Holy. Is she here?
She's here.
Okay. I want everybody to stand. You need to come. You two need to come. You need to come. We're going to minister deliverance to those. You know what? Deliverance is different in every situation. It isn't always something where people are screaming and thrashing on the floor. But if it is, so be it. You want it out. You don't want it staying. You want it out. Will you take these and will you anoint these? Or just not all of them, but you know. Will you move this for me? Will you move this someplace? Jesus wants to take away your shame. Spirits of addiction, I don't care if it's cigarettes, I don't care if it's pornography, I don't care if it's drinking, I don't care if it's alcohol, I don't care if it's food, I don't care what it is. He totally wants you free. Amen? He just wants you free from it. All addictions, all of it, free. Familiar spirits. You know, there's people that have been abused when they were young or whenever. All kinds of abuse. It comes in all forms. And it's like any time. Or you know what? There is something else. Yes, Lord. People that have been married over and over and over again. They've been married and divorced, you know. Do you know what divorce is according to the Word of God? It's equated with a spirit of violence. Think of what a divorce does. It's violent. But He wants you free from it. He wants you free from all of it. I met a woman, and she'd been married 5 times. I thought she was only, you know, she told me it was once because she was afraid to tell me. She was ashamed to tell me. But it came out as I got to know her, it was 5 times. We were in a ministry situation. And I noticed every time she got mad, every husband, every past husband, all 5 of the husband's names were brought up every time she was mad. It's that spirit of violence that she needed to be delivered from. Amen? You just play when you're ready. He wants you free. He wants you free from shame. I just keep getting that. Shame. Shame. People say things like, shame on me, shame on you. No, the shame went on Jesus. And that's where you want it to stay. Don't take it. People here have, you know, they've been in out of jails. People know them. They weren't the good girl. They weren't the good boy. They were the violent one. They did things. It's like instead of being the victim, they were the perpetrator in situations. And there's shame. He just wants you free. He totally wants you free from all shame. All of it. All of it. There's other people here. They can't get free from sickness and disease. It's just like they're doing the right things. They're speaking it. They're putting their faith into action. And it seems like they just can't get free. It becomes a spiritual matter. Not everything is physical. You need to get free. It's all He wants you to do is be free. Hallelujah. He so wants you free. So wants you free. It's like when you shared your testimony of your knees. I mean, you had me in tears. I know what it's like to suffer from pain. And pain is a controller. And when I deal with people that are suffering, I first go after the spirit of pain. I go after it. Because if I can get them free from the pain, they can focus. And they can focus on the redemptive work of Jesus and get healed. One thing I want to do is I want to anoint your hands today. Okay, so you'll be one of the people up here and say, my hands. Now remember, I don't want to forget. Healing in your hands. Healing in your hands. I don't just lay hands on people to be healed. Yes, I do that. But God says, release it. Release it. Release the healing into their hands. You want to multiply. You want to spiritually multiply that healing. Because there's people all over that are suffering. Suffering. And it's not a little thing. It is not a little thing. It controls your life. But you can be free from all of it. Suicide. Yes, in the church, suicide. People like, I can't admit that. You don't admit it, it's going to stay. Get it out of you. Suicide. I was in a church in Florida, just a glorious healing service. And the Lord says to me before the service starts, you know, He manifests in my body and tells me what's going on. And then He speaks words to me or I see things. And He spoke to my ear and He said, into my ear, and He said, suicide. There's a spirit of suicide in this place. I called it out, and 3 women came running to the front. One woman, because she had been a victim of abuse and just couldn't get free from the bondage of the whole issue. And she's now in her 40s and can't get free. She needed deliverance. from a spirit of suicide because she thought, I can't live like this. She didn't want to live like this. The next woman comes running and she's saying, I am addicted to everything there is to be addicted to. I'm addicted to it all. And I want to be free because I don't want to go on living like this. These are Christians. Another woman, they carry her in. They carry, I should say, to the front. She had 7 or 8 herniated discs. There was no pain medication, no nothing anybody could do. Nothing worked. Nothing. And she just looked at me with tears in her eyes and she goes, I want to end it. I can't live anymore. I can't handle it anymore. The pain. They were holding her up because she couldn't even stand. I wrapped my arms around her and she was free, instantly free. Deliverance comes in all forms. He just wants you free. He wants you free. The man that I shared with you about, he was addicted to pornography, a Christian in the praise and worship for years, and he can't get free. He's like, okay, it's like taking a cigarette. I don't want cigarettes anymore, and then he just throws it down. But it's spiritual, and he goes back to it over and over. It's the same thing with pornography, any of that, any of it, pot, all of that kind of stuff. I'm sorry, it's an addiction. And he just wants you free. He wants you free. Free. People need to be delivered from familiar spirits of their past. What do you think generational curses are all about? Generational sins that are passed down from one generation to another. It is a familiar spirit. And it needs to be broken so you can be free. Free. I'll tell you anything you tell me. I'm not telling anybody. I may use it as a testimony one day, but they won't even know who you are. The Lord spoke to me that from the very beginning. You don't tell people. You know, I have people ask me all the time. And I just tell them, I can't share that with you. And they like go, oh. And I don't go any further with it. Homosexuality, yes, in the church. Every meeting I have people coming to me and saying, I want to be free. And they usually whisper it in my ear. We have had homosexuals in our own home, raised them. And they're free. They're free. He wants you free. I don't care if I've called it out or not. He wants you free. You see, I have this anger, this temper that I just can't control. It just takes control. And you feel horrible about it afterwards. He wants you free. He wants you free. Totally free. Amen. Whether we called it out or not today, you come. There's a whole team of us here. Amen. No one is going to embarrass you. I'll be honest with that. I won't do that to you. You come. And you say to us what it is. Trust me. I've heard a lot. But you know what? It's okay. Because Jesus took your shame. And he wants to take it from you today. He wants it lifted off of you. Because that's a garment. And it's an ugly garment. It's a heavy garment. He wants you free. That's the word today. It's deliverance. Today is the day of your salvation. Now. Your salvation is now. It is now. Amen? It is now. Now you can be free. You can be free. You can be free from it. And you're like, wait, I can't imagine it. Of course you can't. You're in bondage to it, but you can be free. You can be free. So you come. Amen? Whatever it is, you just come. Arthritis is a spirit. Almost always, not in every case, but almost always, there is a root of bitterness that needs to be dealt with. And bitterness dries up the bones. It kills the bones. He wants you free from bitterness. He wants you free from, he wants you to forgive and release these people from your own vengeance so that you can receive and be free yourself. It's like, well, I don't feel like it. You just don't. It has nothing to do with feelings. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is what you stand on when there are no feelings. It has nothing to do with feelings. Faith is a decision. It's a quality decision. I choose. I will. I choose to believe. I choose to be free. I choose this day. Now, I know there's a whole lot more people, so I'm saying come. Come. You come and you will be free. Come on. I don't know what you want to hold on to it for. Come. Come. We are not, no one is going to embarrass you. They are not embarrassing you. You just come. You come. There's people here, okay? Come. You tell them to come for me, okay? You come. As you're singing, you tell them to come because I'm shutting this off. Shut my mic off.